If y'all will, let's stand for the scripture reading together.
This is John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, good morning. It is an honor to continue in our Define Your Biblical Term series. We've got this week, and then we're going to close it out next week. And I was hoping some of you might be sad about that. I was hoping for a groan. Oh, man. It's been a great series. We love it so much. Please don't quit. No? All right. Well, there's no reason to say it. Now I'm just begging for it, so we'll just move on. But this week, we're going to talk about the word peace. By peace, what we mean here is a wholeness, a completeness, a deep contentment, and a rest for our souls. Peace is really like that culminating internal term for us that we're all after, this wholeness, this rest in our entire being. In fact, Phil Robertson once said, and Phil, I think, died just in the last couple of months, but Duck Dynasty guy, great guy. A few years ago, he was telling his testimony, and he said the first 28 years of his life, man, were just miserable. He's frustrated, just did what he wanted to do, gave in to, you know, alcohol, drugs, all those different things, and then he said, but the last 42 years of his life have been so much better since he's given his life to Jesus. And he said, essentially, three words sums up why it's been so much better since he gave his life to Jesus. And he said, three words, peace of mind, rest for his mind, rest for his soul. That's what really the human race is all after. We want peace. So today, my hope is that you'll be able to leave here knowing exactly what peace is and also how the Bible tells us we can acquire the peace that only he gives. We see in John chapter 14 that Jesus is deeply concerned about our peace. This is the Thursday night leading up to his death on Friday, and he says this in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then, in this same conversation in John 16:33, he reiterates. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, two things we got to take away from here. Number one is we can surmise that he doesn't give peace like the kind of peace that you find in the world. But then in John 16, we see that actually the peace he gives is much better than what the world offers to us. And make no mistake, man, the peace that the world offers is temporary, fleeting, can be taken away from you in a second. I mean, you are one phone call away from that worldly peace ending. Every peace treaty there's ever been has been broken. Every country goes through turmoil. Every family even struggles with peace. There's conflict at times, right? This peace is so much different. And parents, you know that if you are looking for worldly peace, it's hard to come by when you got little kids. And just a couple nights ago, I mean, I had a really long day, and I was tired, and I started falling asleep, and sure enough, one of my daughters comes in there and says, Daddy, sorry to wake you up, but what's the weather going to be tomorrow? I'm like, you can ask me that in the morning, you know? And then you start going back to sleep again. Another daughter comes in there and says, hey, I was just wondering if you could do my hair. And I'm like, no. Here's the thing. So many times in the world, we can't even acquire worldly peace. It's so fragile. But thank God that Jesus offers us a peace that is transcendent of the world. So we can always have that internal, unshakable, deeper, long-lasting peace. So, the question is, how do you acquire this peace? Well, the first thing you have to know is you cannot have the peace of God until you have had peace with God. So crucial for the world to understand. Oftentimes, we want the peace of God, but we don't want the God of peace. We want the things of the kingdom without the king. But God says there must be a peace deal made between God and man in order for man to acquire and have that peace in their life. Now, the bad news is we can't go and make peace with God. I mean, we can't do a good enough dance. We can't hit a golf ball far enough. We can't obey the law enough to get in good with a holy God. We bring one thing and one thing only to peace negotiations with God. God brings the rest. God brings life. God brings love and grace and mercy and peace and joy and sacrifice and all the things needed for peace negotiations, but we still got to bring one thing, not more and not less, and that is our complete and total surrender. See, you cannot have peace without surrender. Peace does not come without surrender. Oftentimes, we're waiting on God to just grant us his peace, and God is waiting on us to surrender so that he can give us that peace. You ever said something like this? Maybe not out loud, but really this is what you're saying. You're saying, God, I want your peace, but my will. I want your peace, but my terms. It's just not how it works. Now, look, I'm hitting this point hard, and I get that. But there's so many times I've seen in my life, and I'm sure it's the same with you, that I'll say, God, I want peace, but I'm going to hold on to that bitterness that I have. I mean, that thing that that person did, it's just too much, and I'm not going to give it up, but please give me some peace. And God is saying, surrender that thing. You got to surrender the bitterness. You got to surrender the unforgiveness. You got to get rid of the desires or the sin habits and things. You got to just say, God, I'm going to surrender those things to you. I'm open-handed. I want things your way, not my will, but yours be done. We bring our complete and total surrender, and that's all we bring to peace negotiations. Man, for some of you coming in today, maybe it's been decades. You've been holding on to something. Surrender it. Give it to him, and that's when we have the peace of God. Think about it like a handshake and a peace deal with God, all right? Think about it like that for a second. When you shake God's hand, the thing that you're bringing is that surrender. The things he's bringing when he shakes your hand is all those other things that we mentioned. And when he shakes your hand, now he's imparting to you those things. But in order to make that deal, it's got to be surrender, complete and total surrender. Doesn't have to be my way anymore. God, it's got to be your way. That's how I want things. In Daniel chapter 6, I love this story so much. Daniel, man, every day, three times a day, he's kneeling before God in complete and total surrender. And it's not that you have to like physically kneel or anything, but there does need to be a posture of surrender in our hearts. And he's giving thanks to God, and he's surrendering himself in front of God every single day. That's what surrender looks like. And by the way, if we want to leave some kind of legacy, Daniel, it says in earlier chapters that Daniel was a part of a group called the Magi. He was the chief Magi. And then you see like 500 years later, the Magi seeing this toddler king. You know I got to get Christmas in there. You see this toddler king, and they're overjoyed, and they have such humility that they just kneel and surrender before God. That's a legacy. Parents, let's leave a legacy of total surrender to God for our kids and generations to come. Now, with our surrender, God's hope is that his peace now will begin to rule in our hearts. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful." So now compare that to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." Again, so that's the opening up process. That's the surrender. That's saying, I'm open to you, God. And now his peace can begin to rule in our hearts. Now, one of the things I love about Paul's writings is he just lays it out for us. It's like he understands and he's digested the Old Testament so much, and then he's like, hey guys, here's what it means. Here's how you put this thing into practice. And so Philippians 4:6, he says, just very simply, this is the prescription. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's the pattern right there, all right? We've surrendered ourselves to him, but now we really need to start to practice his peace in our lives. We need to let his peace just rule our minds and sit on our minds, because Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you." So there it is. If you're like me and you're just going, just tell me what to do, here it is. You surrender your will to God, and then you do three things that this verse says. Be anxious for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. Be thankful for anything. Paul says first, don't let your mind wander to other things. Don't be anxious. And that's what anxiety is. It's being double-minded. It's allowing your mind to go all kinds of different directions, you know? Like, I'm worried about that report. What's it going to say? Or even sillier things like, did I take the trash out this week? I can't remember if I took it out, and I hope I did, because trash is coming by today, and if I didn't get it out there, it's going to be a long week. We're going to be eating out of our hands this week. Stuff like that. It just goes here, 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 everywhere, right? And what he's saying is our minds were meant to be focused in on him, and when we add all these other things to the equation, our brains just can't handle it, and our peace is going to go. Did you know 90% of the things that we worry about never actually happen? Did y'all know that? Isn't that something? So what we're doing when we worry is we're just adding all these variables in that our brain just can't process. And then we wonder, why don't we have peace in the matter? That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:35, he says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own." As in, just focus and be concerned about the things that are actively needing to be concerned about. Just focus on those things. Think about and be concerned about the diagnosis after you've received it, not worrying about it before you've received it. That's his point right here. Take what you're actively concerned about, actively is going on in your life, and address those things. Michael Jordan, huge Michael Jordan fan growing up, and he was asked one time, he said, the interviewer said, "Do you ever worry that you're going to miss that last second shot and your team's going to lose?" And his response just stuck with me. He said, "Why would I worry about a shot I haven't even taken yet?" And I just thought, what a great perspective. Just living in the present right now. See, we don't have to stress about future possible things. We have to stress about all these different scenarios all the time. That's why I kind of limit my news now, because I mean, I just don't need to know all the world's possible worries and stresses. My brain has a very limited capacity. And my family just said amen in the back. I told you guys a couple years ago about that washing machine story, where at the end of every week, I would just do laundry once a week. So we had all this laundry piled up, and I'd put them in piles, but it would take so long that I would say, "Can I just like cheat a little bit? Can I just get ahead? Maybe throw a little bit more laundry in there just to see if I can get by here." And sure enough, I put too much in the washing machine, so the washing machine starts shaking uncontrollably and starts to break. That's kind of a good picture, isn't it, of what anxiety does for us. See, we got to focus just on that one current load that we're actually dealing with, not throwing in all these future possible loads in, because our brains can't handle it. That, see, when we worry, there are all these loads that we're throwing in on our brain, and we wonder why we can't have peace, because we're just sitting in anxiety. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Isn't that hard? I mean, that's really hard. Be anxious for nothing. But it's not as hard when you think about what comes next. He says, instead, pray about everything. How could I possibly not worry about anything? Well, by praying about everything. See, you got to do something with your anxiety. And when you pray about it, you're actually putting it in the hands of the one who is already in the future and who can actually do something about it. Did you know there's one thing that the God of worry can do for you, and one thing only? Make you die faster. That's it. But the God of peace, man, this is the God who counts the stars in the sky and knows them by name. Give your worries to him, and he can do something with it far beyond what we could ever do by just worrying. You're going to do something with your worry. You might as well give it over to him. He'll handle those. Give them over. Pray over those worries. And not just about those worries, but we should pray about everything. Pray as you go into your next meeting. Pray as you rise. Pray as you lie down. Pray as you are sipping on your coffee in the morning. Pray, 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 pray. We should be like those insane couples who carry a little Bluetooth around like they're, you know, far apart so they can't see each other and stuff. And so they very weirdly, I think, like have these Bluetooths on so they go about their lives, but yet they're still talking to each other all the time. And, you know, look, I love Morgan. I mean, she's the best, but I'm good there. But here's the thing. I'm going to pay for that one. We need to move on fast. Okay. Here's the thing. That's the kind of access that we have to God. An open line of communication. The God who created everything, who counts the stars in the sky, knows them by name, we have him on speed dial, and we can talk to him throughout our day. Again, you're going to do something with your worry. You'll sit in it, you'll stew in it, you'll strive more, you'll avoid or withdraw, you'll fear, or you can give it to the one who is in the future and can do something with that. He says, be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. And by the way, I love that word he uses about prayer. He says, petition God. I mean, if you follow the devotion from earlier in the week that I sent out, I just love that word petition, because what it means is it means to appeal to the authorities. And oftentimes you're like pulling other people in to that appeal to the authorities. And that's what God wants from us. He says, bring those things to me. I want to hear from you. He doesn't get annoyed. You ever pray the same prayer and you're like, God must be very annoyed that I keep praying the same prayer? No, he loves to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. He says to petition him in prayer. So be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. And then be thankful for anything. Man, you could fixate on one thing you don't have while dismissing a million things you do have, or you could fixate on one thing you do have while dismissing the million things you don't have. That's a choice, and that choice is critical for our peace. Man, as you guys know, there are Christians all over the world meeting under a tree, meeting in a bunker because of persecution and things, and yet they're so, so thankful. Why? Because they know that they've been given everything because they've been given Jesus. They've been given life. And that's what gratitude is. It's looking back and knowing that we have life forevermore in his name. We have everything we could ever need. But worry, on the other hand, what it does is say, I lack so much and I'm looking to the future, and if every scenario can just work out just the way that I want it to, then I'll have peace. But that's not what gratitude does. Gratitude looks back and says, thank you, thank you, thank you. You remember that that story where Jesus heals the 10 lepers and only one of them comes back? And what does Jesus say to the guy who comes back and says, thank you? He says, your faith has made you whole. He experienced this wholeness, this peace in his being. Why? Because he had a spirit of gratitude. As if to say, gratitude is often the pathway for us to experience that wholeness, that internal wholeness that we are after. It's gratitude, it's gratitude, it's gratitude. You got breath in your lungs? Be thankful. You able to get up on your own two feet? Be thankful. So many things to be thankful about. And when you start worrying, it's hard to stop. But when you start being thankful, it's also hard to stop. You start noticing things you never noticed before. You're like, I didn't realize the sky is so blue and beautiful. I never even thought about the fact that my air conditioner is working at the end of July or June. But July 2 would be great, even better than the end of June. Man, there's so many things. Think about that for a second. What are the things maybe you take for granted that we could just be so thankful about? There is a Pals on every corner, and I'm thankful about that, man. I don't know if you've had the peanut butter milkshake. It's legit. Try it out. We got Pals everywhere. Man, praise God. It's awesome. We show thankfulness for that. When gratitude just starts marking us, so will peace. So again, the prescription is we surrender it all to him. We're anxious for nothing. We're prayerful for everything, and we're thankful for anything. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come on back up. When Jesus tells us, he gives us his peace in John 14 and John 16, we have to understand this scenario. This is right before he's about to give up his life. It's not right before he keeps the wine flowing at the party. It's not right before he feeds the 5,000 with the kids' Lunchable. That's not what it is. It's in some of the darkest moments in time. And I really think we need to think about that. Because what he's saying is, I've overcome the world. As in, there is no scenario that the world gives where you cannot have the peace he gives. I think we really need to consider that. Guys, the world can take your job, make you experience financial strain. People can speak all kinds of different things against you, but they cannot take your peace because they didn't give it and they can't take it away. Got to focus on that. His peace transcends the world. So, what do you need to surrender today? And I know a lot of you, there are some tough things to surrender. Some of you got some diagnoses. Even harder than that, some of the people that you care about have some diagnoses. Or maybe you've got kids who they've been far away from Jesus and you just want them to know Jesus. For me, it's controlling outcomes. I gotta know A to Z. Come on, tell me. Tell me how it's gonna work out. What God is saying is if you'll just surrender those outcomes, if you'll just surrender your child under him, if you will just surrender your need for things to work out in that diagnosis, then what's gonna happen is he's gonna shake your hand and he's gonna say, we now have peace in the area, in this area, and now I give to you my peace. We can't expect his peace without surrender. So, as we step back into worship, stick your hand out to God, surrender to him, or better yet, if you want to be like those magi and come on your knees before God in humility and surrender, these altars will be open, and I'd love to pray with you through some of those things that you need surrender in. And then be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything and be grateful for anything. And watch as peace begins to mark your life, this wholeness, this deep satisfaction within your soul will begin to mark us. Let's pray. Father, oh, we thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being above it all. Thank you for offering something that goes outside of the entire world. And Father, especially for those today, I know there's pain. I know there's struggle. I pray, would you be so gracious as to prompt them into surrender this morning? Doesn't have to be our way. Doesn't have to be our will. Doesn't have to be our terms. Father, we want things your way. And so, Father, as we declare that today, I pray that your peace will go with us from this place. Help us to be anxious for nothing, to pray about everything, and to be thankful for anything. And give us that peace of mind that Phil Robertson talked about. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.